Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat, and I am Laurie Lawson. And thankfully, I have my lovely, lovely co-host, who is upstate in New York, Bernie.
Yes, enjoying the mountains up here, and Bernie Siegel, and looking forward to the call, as always.
Me too, me too. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We here at Coach Chat think if you change your perspective, you can change your life. We developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest growing professions in the world today. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And our guest today is Barbara Kenyon. Barbara, welcome.
Thanks so much. I'm delighted to be here.
We all have headset envy because Barbara is crystal clear, and we know we're not. So enjoy Barbara. You'll hear every word she says. Let me tell you a little bit about Barbara. She has a solid background in counseling, coaching, business development, and life skills training. Barbara and her husband, Alan, have been partners with Kenyon Coaching since 1989, providing coaching solutions for individuals and companies. They are co-authors for the motivational book, Fire Up Your Life Now, 25 Secrets for Creating the Life You Really Want. We're going to talk to her about that. I can't wait. And Barbara's a graduate of coach training program at Coach U, the world's largest coach training organization. She's a certified coach with the International Coach Federation. She holds a BA in sociology, I do too, from Bradley University. And a master's degree in counseling from the University of Arizona. Barbara's also a graduate of Dale Carnegie Training in Effective Speaking and Human Resources. I'm sorry, Human Relations. So we got a lot of questions for Barbara. You want to start it off, Bernie?
Yeah, thank you. I'm looking forward to having this conversation. Barbara, a lot of the people who listen to our show are always interested in knowing sort of what the journey has been for our guests, because no one was born a coach, obviously, and no one's really gone to college for coaching. So it'd be great to hear, just briefly, a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
I will. Thanks for asking, and I will do it briefly. When you said nobody is born a coach, I really do believe I was. Some people, coaches are made and some are born. I was the kid on the playground in third grade, I believe, where people would share their private secrets with me. And that has continued to today. I think I was a combination of being safe. My husband says I could draw a conversation out of a sphinx. But also, I inherited what my mother had going for her, which was kind of like the Dr. Phil approach. How's that working for you? After they laid this whole story on, and usually the answer is not that well. So I, as Lori mentioned, I went to college, got a degree in social work, sociology, and a master's degree in counseling. I married my husband, Alan, in 1989. He had been with the Dale Carnegie program. And when we married, he wanted to open up his own company and start training and seminars to help people live their best life. It was shortly thereafter that he was reading the New York Times and read an article about a life coach. We hadn't heard of that term, but off he went to an ICF convention within minutes, and Kenyon Coaching was born. We started, I went to Coach U training, and I started being a generalist because I couldn't limit myself to any one person or field. I just wanted to work with people who are stuck and wanted to make a change. And that's kind of what I do today. We've been working together, and I haven't killed them in 31 years.
What a great story. Thanks.
Fantastic. Thanks. Fantastic. Well, Bernie, maybe we'll have to change our attitude. Maybe coaches are born. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. I can't say that anymore.
We say at least we know one who was. Okay. But we are dying to find out. I love the title of your book, Fire Up Your Life Now, 25 Secrets for Creating the Life You Really Want. What was on earth was the inspiration? How did this come about?
This book came about as a result of a brilliant idea of my husband, Alan. When we began Kenyon Coaching, he said, we ought to send out a free 30-second motivational tip via email and call it Fire Up Your Week. I love that idea, and I love the 32nd part of it because it was quick. So he began writing those. We sent them to family members, a few friends here and there, and eventually those people forwarded it on to their friends, and we forwarded on to new clients. And today, almost 20 years later, we have people in many time zones around the world that get Fire Up Your Week. And almost every week, without exception, we get an email from somebody. We don't know these people, but it'll say, how did you know I needed to hear that today? And the reason is because we needed to hear it. We write what we need to hear, and it seems to be sort of universal. So that was the impetus for writing this book. We received so many emails and so much appreciation that one day I said to Alan, we've got a book in here. So rather than calling the book Fire Up Your Week, it's called Fire Up Your Life Now, 25 Secrets for Creating the Life You Really Want. And we picked out some of our best stuff. Some of our, 25 of our best messages that we thought were the best. The other benefit of this book that we did is I'm surrounded by ADD, married into it, family members. It runs up and down our family tree. So everybody has short attention spans. We deliberately wrote this book with each chapter being 3 to 4 pages long so that it's not the book you pick up and you read the first page and say, oh, I'll get to it some other day. You read it.
Wow. Clever.
We don't have too many authors online. One question that comes to mind is, what was it like writing the book? What was maybe the biggest challenge that you found?
That's a really great question, Bernie, and it's always a challenge. I'm not a natural writer, and either is Alan, but our material just kind of came off the pen and on the page. We decided to self-publish. I grew up in the book business, actually. My father was in the retail business of selling books, so that was my life. I love books. But we didn't want to try to get it published through publishers. We know it's really difficult. And the purpose of this book was to share it with our friends. We wanted a quick production. We do workshops. We began doing workshops calling it Fire Up Your Life Now. That's the name of the workshop. And, of course, we would use the book as our text, and people would want a piece of us after we were done. And so these books have sold rapidly with those type of presentations, and it is available on Amazon.com. So in answer to your question, it wasn't a long process in trying to get it published. We just went right to a place called iUniverse, interestingly enough. We thought that sort of spoke to our soul, too, and they were very helpful.
Oh, great.
Well, I have two follow-up questions for you. One, are you still doing the Fire Up Your Week motivational tips?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How
we
can
have
people
clients
get
sometimes.
That?
Yes, you can go to our website, kenyoncoaching.com, and there's a little place to sign up, and you're immediately in. And we have people, it's funny because we send it out Monday morning, but oftentimes Sunday night. And I have had people email us when we're a little bit late getting it out, where it didn't come till Monday afternoon. Where is your message? Love it.
I love it too. Let me follow up on what you just said. You said you do workshops. Have you converted that in light of COVID and all the craziness going on? Have you converted that to online? Is there any way that people can, I guess that you're going to send me back to your website, right?
Yes, and the answer is yes. I live about an hour from the Orlando airport, and there's a shuttle that I can take me to the airport. A couple years ago, I was on the shuttle, and I met this really nice lady who lives where I do in the Villages, Florida, and commutes to her corporation. I think it's in L.A. And she contacted me just about 10 days ago and said, we need team building. And I know that's your specialty, helping teams become stronger. Would you be willing to work with our corporation on Zoom? And I said, would I be willing to do that? Are you kidding? I would love to do that. I've never done it on Zoom. I mean, I've done lots of things on Zoom, but never a workshop for 12 people who are all around the country and beyond, and because there's breakout sessions and so forth. But, of course. So, yes.
Fantastic.
I haven't received the confirmation yet. They just received my proposal, but hopefully that I will do that. And I have confidence in good results with this workshop, Alan, and I have really honed into making it as powerful and a real game changer. So I'm hoping it'll work well on Zoom, and then after that, I'll market myself in a bigger way.
I think you mentioned before that you don't have any particular niche that you're, you know, you a lot of different types of people that you can coach. So I'm wondering, the book that you wrote, who does that benefit? What types of people, benefit most from reading your book?
In one word, everybody. There is something in here for everybody, and that's a really great question, Bernie. We geared it toward people in the, I don't want to say exclusively the corporate world, but people who live stressed lives. And so there, we started, I'll just read you the first page of the book. A lot of times people don't have clarity on what they really want in their lives, and that's a whole topic in itself. So the purpose of the book was to help people gain that clarity and really be true to themselves of what it is they want without other people talking in their ear or trying to guide them in a certain way. And then once beyond that, it's all about limiting beliefs and what's getting in your way and stress management and all the things that get in all of our ways. I had one of the greatest compliments of this book was a friend of mine who is a tennis coach was taking her son across the country to a big national tennis event. So they had 2 days, 3 days, I don't know, a long time in the car together. So she brought my book along, and she showed it to her son as a teenager, and he said, "We're going to read this together." And he's rolling his eyes like, "Gag me, are you kidding, Mom?" But anyway, they did. Each chapter was really short, as I mentioned. And when they got home, my friend Anne said to me, my son and I had the most in-depth, meaningful conversations that we have ever had in our life because of your book. So there was a teenager who got a benefit from that. And as I said, we wrote this book in 2009, and we've have just many, many copies that have gone out over the long period of time. And all different people share their benefit. I think that fear is such a big contributor in people's lives, and it addresses fear in so many different ways.
Wow. We could use a couple of copies. You could use a million copies going on right now. I guess we could find it on your website. Is that true?
That is true, and Amazon.com,
Well,
of course.
Let me tell them how to spell your website. It's KENYON coaching.com, because we're just going to keep talking about this website, obviously. I don't want you to give away the kitchen sink here, but can you give us like an idea of a secret that's in there, maybe half a secret?
I can give you lots of secrets. Let's see. I haven't read this book lately, so hold on. I'm going to share with you the quote in the beginning of the book because I think that this sort of sums up a secret that needs addressing with everybody. Mike Dooley, author, coach, said, "The number one reason most people don't start what they want to start is because they think their simple little efforts won't even dent the mountain they wish to move. But little do they know that's exactly how the mountain was formed." As coaches yourself, I'm sure you've met many people who have fear around, you know, just taking a risk of trying something new. And the fear is always, what will people think? How am I going to look if I fail? All those kinds of things. And once, as a coach, I address that with people, and there are many secrets in this book about that, about addressing fear. Being able to compartmentalize it, or worry. How about worry? That's a big one as well. Once they can address that in a bigger way, it's amazing how it dissipates. You know, I do have one story that I love to tell that pretty much sums up my whole book. Would you mind if I mention that?
No, I'd love it.
Okay, and you can cut me off if it goes too long. One client hired me when he turned 60. He was an insurance professional, and by the way, he's given me permission to share this story on interviews because it's so powerful. He was an insurance professional. He had been awarded everything that you possibly can in the business, the Million Dollar Roundtable. His walls were just stacked with all of those plaques and awards and so forth. He was a self-made multimillionaire. He hired me because his doctor said, "If you don't slow down, you're going to have a heart attack." So he found me, he hired me, And I said to him, I'm going to call him John, when's the last time you took a day off? He said, Barbara, I've never taken a day off. Mm-hmm. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I was raised with a father who was a tyrant, and I was a big athlete in high school, and after my sports events, all the other kids got to go and party, and my dad made me come home and clean the garage and do these jobs and all of that, and that's how I was raised. So consequently, here I am, 60 years old. I am a self-made multimillionaire, and I can't stop. I work 7 days a week. I said, all right, here's your first assignment. If you're willing to accept it, take a day off. How far out do we have to look in your calendar to find one? He looks through his calendar, and he finds one 2 weeks later on a Monday. I said, that's it. That's going to be your day off. And he said, well, what am I going to do? And he really didn't know. This was foreign to him. And I said, you tell me. What would you want to do if you were forced to take a day off? And he thought for a really long time, and finally he said, I'd like to go to Barnes & Noble and sit in one of those couches and read books. I said, fantastic. And then he said, well, how long can I stay? I said, John, it's your day off. As long as you want, until they throw you out of the place. So we scheduled our next call for the Tuesday following that Monday. I was sure after 60 years he couldn't follow through on this, but I was hopeful. Tuesday morning he called, and I said to him, I was on the phone, I said, how was your day yesterday? He said, Barbara, it was the best day of my whole life.
Yeah.
Well, I was really glad I was on the phone because tears were flowing down my face, as you can imagine. And I said, tell me all about it. I want to hear every inch of this story. And so he told me. I got up in the morning. I took a walk around my area. He said, I've never done that, ever. Oh, by the way, he said, I took my watch off and did not wear it. I mean, I didn't put it on. He said, I'm sure the neighbors probably thought I was the village stalker or something. Who is this man walking around here like this? He said, I took a shower. I went to Barnes & Noble, and I sat there for hours. I pulled off so many things. There was a mountain of books and magazines in front of me. Went out to lunch, bought some stuff. And then he said there was a Walmart. This was 18 years ago. He said there was a Walmart by me. I'd never even been in the place. He said, did you know they sell groceries at Walmart?
Yeah.
I said, I know that. Anyway, he said, I walked up and down the aisles of Walmart like a kid in a candy store, looking at all of this crapola. And anyway, he came home that evening. He took his wife out for dinner, told her about her day, his day. She couldn't believe it. And then he went back to work that evening because he just had to.
Oh.
That man was a changed man from that day. He changed everything. I said to him, you know, if you work hard and add another million to your net worth, is that what's that going to do for you? He said, nothing, absolutely nothing. So anyway, he ended up merging his company. He ended up teaching his grandchildren how to play golf. Everything about his world changed for the better. And the one thing that stuck with him was I said to him, John, you won the race. You won the race. And I said, is your father? I mean, what does he have to say? Oh, he's dead. I said, so he's been living rent-free in your brain for a very long time because you're trying to please him, and you won. So that's what changed that man's life. He became, of course, a wonderful source of referral for new clients. And I spoke with him within the last 90 days. And you know what he said to me right off the bat? He said, Barbara, I did win that race, didn't I?
Aww.
And I said to him what I tell every single client that I have because it seems to fit. I said, if the worst thing in your life, John, is every morning when you wake up, you have to reboot the hard drive in your brain and say to yourself, I won the race. Whatever it takes, whatever message you need to feed in there, and then the next day do it again, and the next day do it again. It's not a bad life.
Hmm.
That's my great tip.
Well,
is that relatable to you guys, Lori?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I had one client that wanted to have more balance in their life, and their definition was to leave work early. And I thought to myself, well, why haven't they done it before? So I asked like you a simple question. What would you do when you leave at 5 o'clock? And it was dead silence on the other end. And I thought maybe we were disconnected. No, he had no idea what he would do. And I said, well, if you have no idea what you're going to do, you're not going to do it, right? That person did not change. And how often do you find, Barbara, that you've got people that have that type of situation where they're just, you know, moving along, doing what they think they should be doing, and missing out on some of these opportunities.
I think it happens all the time, and I think until you can get to the source, and in John's case it was his father living rent-free in his brain, I think it's really hard to make changes that are big like that. I read somewhere recently that some expert, I can't remember who the expert was, said that our responses have been formed in us before the age of six. So that's pretty powerful stuff. If that's, you know, and I can think of things in my own world, and I've been a student of this my entire life, self-growth. I can think of my father, you know, I remember he used to think that I was a little bit too easy on my kids, and I can just sort of see my father's disapproving look in his eye to this day. But fortunately, my kids are all grown, and they're doing great, and oh well.
Maybe you
but,
broke
you know,
the cycle.
The dust stick, and it is a matter of rebooting the hard drive, and people really have to want to change, and I guess the bottom line is the pain has to be greater than the desire to change. Pain has to be strong enough, or people won't, and then they'll just revert back to old habits. That's why we coach it. That's why the coaching business is so potent, because we really know how to help clients get to the source of what's going on and hold their hand. And one of my coach you instructors said we're kind of like a fairy godmother in combat boots.
I like that. There's a philosopher that I quote, and I don't know who it is either, but it's all activity stems from negativity. Because if you're walking down Paradise Lane, you're not going to change. Why would you change? But if the pain, like you said, if the pain gets bad enough, then you're going to be motivated, hopefully, to do something about it. And speaking of pain, how have you, or what adaptations can you recommend? You say there's fear, and fear is in everybody, and now there's more fear on top of the fear with the pandemic and all of this. How are you adapting your message to what's going on around the world?
Well, these are such scary times, unprecedented scary times. So, of course, we're all in this together. And I think that my best message for all of my clients and anybody who asked me that question, which is a really good one, Lori, is live in the moment. You know, as my husband always says, yesterday's gone and tomorrow is but a dream. So the kinds of things we worry about typically are what happened yesterday that we can't have a do-over anyway, or what may happen tomorrow. So as long as you live in the moment and make it the best day that you can, kind of like, again, rebooting the hard drive in your brain to just make it a good day. And I don't mean to ignore what's going on around us, because it's scary. You know, as I mentioned, I'm living in Florida, and the numbers are staggering, the number of cases that they keep finding every single day. But I don't focus on that, because I'm here now, and I'm in my office, my beautiful office with my two beautiful poodles. I'm having a wonderful interview with two wonderful coaches, and that's just the best you can do. Do what you need to do to make it a great day.
Yeah, I find that what helps me a little bit is to think about it a year from now. Okay, Bernie, what's gonna you be doing a year from now, and what will you have learned when you look back at this, what's happened? You know, I'm old enough to have gone through a whole bunch of things, including 9/11 in my neighborhood, and we always get past them. But most people don't think that way. As you say, they're bombarded with television, the media, scaring them, because that's how they make their money. So they sometimes they need somebody like us to talk to them, as you're saying, and look at it differently. So I think that's, as you say, it's really great that's what we do. Of the secrets that you have, you call them secrets, during times like this, could you think of maybe one or two that could benefit people, at this point?
Yes. I'll go right to the worry one, because segued into it as it is. When people ask me, how can you control worry? I'm just a worrier. I come from a long line of worriers. And I say to them, how about this? Here's my best tip. Set a time to worry. 5 to 5:15 every single day. Set your alarm clock. And then during the day, when a worry thought appears, which it will, just hold your hand out like a stop sign and say, nope, not yet. 5 o'clock is my worry time. Now, that may seem like a really simple option, but it's quite amazing how it works. Now, what do you do if you forgot about it at 5 o'clock and then it's 9 o'clock at night? Oh, well, back to tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Because what is the worrying doing anyway? It's not really doing much. But that's one of my secrets, how you worry. Set a worry time. You know, I do want to mention one other thing because I think it could be pertinent. Do we still have time?
Sure.
Okay. Regarding COVID, I did put out one of our messages in Fire Up Your Week, actually, just several weeks ago. My best tips for handling COVID-19 is, number one, and Bernie, you mentioned that, limit the news watching. I'm a CNN news junkie, but you can only take so much, and then it makes you crazy. Limit the news watching. Number two, create a health plan, and that's really important because if you don't know what you're going to do if you get sick, who you're going to call, what doctor you're going to go to, all those kinds of details, that can add more stress. So just make sure you have a great plan in your head in advance. And then number three is the managing social distancing. What can you do when you're cooped up in your house, like organizing your sock drawer? That's a real thing, by the way. Or reading or doing things that you haven't done before. People don't like to use their time. A lot of people are surrounded by clutter. I always recommend how much space you allow in your head when you organize even one drawer in your kitchen. One little drawer. And, of course, practicing good self-care. Another one is starting a journal. A lot of people are not journal writers, but even if you do it bullet point style, write down the day, how you're feeling, what you did. Because, as you mentioned, Bernie, a year from now, you can look back at that and really be proud of the resilience that you had during these trying times. And the other one, try a new recipe, even if you're not a cook. That's what I've been doing, and I'm a really bad cook, but it's amazing what I've been able to accomplish here, and also reaching out to family and friends. I contacted an old college friend from my freshman year in college. I haven't seen her since then, decades ago, and I Googled her. You can find everybody on Google, and I dropped her a message. We had the most wonderful conversation last week. Wonderful, and she's going to be a source of referral too. That was this byproduct. I wasn't even thinking in those terms. So those are some of the things you can do to get through this time and maintain optimism, as difficult as it is, and I totally get that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I was going to ask you, what opportunities do you see? You just gave us a whole plan for the year. I love it.
Thanks.
But I think that's what has happening, and it's so funny because both you and Bernie said when you ask people, I find when I ask my clients, what do you want? It's like deer in the headlights. It's like nobody stops to think about what you want. They're so busy with what I have to do and what I should do. So I would think that would be step number one. This is a great opportunity to do that. And you have given us marvelous. I'm a CNN junkie too, and there are times when you just have to say bye. I'll see you later because there's never. It's too much. But
yeah.
So,
you know, I was thinking one more thing that just triggered in my mind. When after I completed my work with John, the guy that was the insurance professional, he said to me, "Why didn't I hire you years ago?" And I said to him, "If your doctor hadn't told you that you were going to die of a heart attack if you didn't get some help, would you have hired me years ago?" He said, "No."
Nah.
So that's an answer your question, Bernie, about, you know, what prevents people from taking steps or whatever. I think that they have to be afraid enough, or what they have right now has to be icky enough that they want something different. And a lot of clients come to me and they say, "I don't know what I want. I just don't know what I have. I just don't want what I have." And I'll say, come as you are. We will figure it out together. And that's what we do.
Great.
Hallelujah for coaches. Yes, because that's what we help everybody do. Barbara, this has been fascinating. We could keep talking to you forever and ever, but unfortunately, we're going to get cut off here. So let me give everybody your website again. It is Kenyon, Kenyon Coaching.com. You're going to find a whole bunch of cool stuff on there. Thank you so much for being such a great guest. You have an invitation to come back anytime you like. Bernie, thank you so much for being such a great co-host.
Thank you.
And we are going to take a break in August, but we will be back in September. So everybody have a fantastic day. Bye.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.